Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Now I'm very impressed with rest. Had a terrific night's sleep. Rick, did you also sleep well last night?
I did sleep well.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
I'm not going to tell you what time I went to sleep.
No, I would never ask that, but I imagine it was probably early if you slept so well.
You never know. Could have been one of those power five-hour jobs occasionally that I get into.
Could be, I guess.
Well, I don't think you would have said you slept well if you only got 5 hours of sleep.
That's right.
Well, this could be, I mean, you never know. This could be the 5 hours where I didn't have to wake up to pee. You know what I mean? Like, this could be straight 5 hours.
That's right.
You never know.
That's right.
I don't believe you have such a thing, so.
I think the later guess you go with Chris today, the better.
Yeah.
I think the way he makes it sound, he went to bed at like 10:30, 10:40.
Well, you know what, Dave? It really doesn't matter because I get to let you go first instead of trying to bat lead off for you so you can try to highball me on whatever time that Rick went to bed.
It's very frustrating. The fact that you had to stay up and watch that whole Greeny special the other night really put a crimp in my plans this week in that battle of what time did you go to sleep. All right.
It's only one, though. It's only one. Stop. It's 1-1. It's only one.
I know,
one.
But if it was 2-0, it would be a commanding lead. Now it's 1-1. I don't feel nearly as comfortable. You know?
You'll battle back. You'll battle back. I'll give some subtle hints throughout
the
3 hours.
Subtle clues throughout the show.
Yeah.
I like it. All right. So how are you?
How am I? I'm doing fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm doing fantastic, Dave.
Good.
I'm doing good. It was a nice day out yesterday. Going to be a nice day today. I'm doing fine.
A beauty. A beautiful day. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Dave. I would be better if I didn't have to take a drop on the 18th hole. My dad and I were neck and neck on the back nine of our round of golf yesterday afternoon, and I hit a ball over there by a lagoon, and there happened to be an alligator laying in the lagoon, so I just thought better of trying to hit that golf ball, and I just decided to take a drop. I didn't want to go out like the lady that was trying to defend her dog from the alligator on Hilton Head Island about a year ago, so I just decided to take a drop, and the extra stroke ended up costing me on the 18th hole, and my dad ended up winning the back nine yesterday. So I'm a little frustrated, but it's still a bad day of golf beats a lot of other things, so yeah. I'll take it.
And it saved you all your limbs by doing that, so I think it was the right move. By
soft.
You.
That's soft.
Yeah, I didn't want to be like Chubbs from Happy Gilmore.
You're soft. You got soft. You can soft. Say
what do you mean I got
you're
soft? It's an alligator. Soft. Listen, discretion is the better part of valor. I'm not going to fight with an alligator over a $2 golf ball.
And for all people to take this tack, you're scared of everything. You're scared of dolphins. You're scared of dogs. You're scared of chipmunks. You're going to say he's soft for being scared of an alligator?
Soft. Yeah, he got soft. He's a civilian now. I get it.
Please.
I mean, Super Bowl champ. He's soft. I mean, listen, there's nothing scarier than losing. Losing is the worst. That's on the top of the list. It goes losing, dolphins, now chipmunks.
No, it goes losing a limb,
dogs.
Then losing in golf, then dolphins.
I can hit the ball quick. Stop. Get in there, hit the ball quick. You still got the golf club. Alligator attacks. Boom, you hit him with the golf club.
Excuse me, what? An alligator attacks and I'm going to bat with a golf club?
Yeah.
And you feel comfortable with that?
Alligator.
No, I don't feel comfortable. I didn't say it wasn't me. I mean, this is you. I'm not putting myself in that.
Exactly.
If this is you,
I'm staying away from the lagoon.
You're trying to set me up for failure. What kind of teammate are you?
I'm not putting myself in the lagoon. I'm making the smart play. I'm staying away from the lagoon.
When we come back from quarantine, I'm going to walk into the studio looking like Captain Hook. What are we talking about?
And he'll never play golf again.
Exactly.
We're not going back to the studio.
He's thinking
Stop.
About his long game.
We're not going back to the studio. Stop.
I'm stupid. You're smart.
It's not going to happen.
He could be right.
That actually may be it. That may be where I go with CMT today now. I had a sports-related
not,
CMT.
Not golf.
No, not golf, but in honor of Chubbs Peterson and Happy
Don't
Gilmore.
Worry
Maybe
about
we
that.
Do something like that.
Made of wood.
Real sturdy.
You might go where? You might go like a movie CMT?
Well, I could do some Adam Sandler
characters?
Stuff.
I
could do characters.
Oh.
I could do sports movies. I could do a lot of different things.
Well,
comedies.
CMT just did sports movies on Friday.
Yeah, but did he do sports comedies? He just did sports movies.
There were comedies involved.
Yeah, I mean, that's just lazy by him. I mean, that's low-hanging fruit. That's lazy.
No,
that's like
he did a beautiful job.
Like, I say low-hanging fruit. This is like spending, 45 minutes in a hot tub. That kind of low-hanging fruit.
I can't let you bash Santiago, man. He had less than an hour to put the thing together. And
he
I thought
well.
He did a great job.
He did really, really. I'm not going to let you do that. I'm gonna move on. I'm gonna move on to Randy Levine. Let's get into Major League Baseball. Let's get into how excited we are at the lack of any progress here with baseball. 800-919-3776. It's the same song and dance day after day after day. Randy Levine, president of your New York Yankees, was on the K Show yesterday. Had some interesting things to say. Let's take a listen. We'll react to it, and we'll just realize that another day goes by with no deal. He's encouraging both sides. And how about this? We're June 17th. We're almost 3 months into their original deal at the end of March, and now Randy Levine encourages both sides to find a way to meet and negotiate in person.
We have to stop disrespecting each other and communicating with each other. And I just, for the life of me now, you know, I asked the commissioner this today. I said, are you ready to get in the room and negotiate?
Why haven't they done that, Randy?
Well, get in the room and negotiate. Deputy Commissioner Dan Halem, I mean, there's nobody with a better disposition in the world than him. You know, Tony's a good guy. I don't know Bruce Meyer. But these are issues that are in the agreement that if baseball didn't negotiate with the players, they'd be subject to liability. Just like if the players didn't negotiate them with the owners, they'd be subject to liability. So at the end of the day, I'm urging everybody here, everybody, put your masks on, social distance, go out to Phoenix. I'm sure Tony Clark has a nice backyard. Or come here, anywhere. I'll make Yankee Stadium available. Get in the room, negotiate these protocols, and get going.
It's unbelievable to me, Chris, that we are 3 months in, and there's a plea from Randy Levine on June 17th, as we're approaching this not even being able to happen anymore. You guys really ought to figure out a way to have a meeting in person.
It's a bad look for baseball. I don't know how much meeting in person would change things or change the dynamics of the negotiations. It felt like from the outset that the owners wanted to be opportunists in the middle of a pandemic, but clearly Tony Clark shifted the discussion that was taking place in the court of public opinion by saying what he said over the weekend, just tell us when and where and the players will be there. And you saw the social media campaign from players around Major League Baseball yesterday, just tell us when and where, let the kids play. Like, I think now that puts a lot of pressure on the owners because everybody understands from that late March agreement that Rob Manfred has the power to unilaterally impose a schedule and actually have a date on the calendar for return to play. So I just think that Randy Levine doing that spot on the K Show was Randy Levine doing the work of the owners, was at their behest in trying to spin this into a conversation that shifts the pressure back on the union to get into a room to continue negotiations with the Major League Baseball owners. And I don't think the players have any interest in doing that now.
No, at this point, it doesn't make any sense. And I mean, the leverage they have now is taking Major League Baseball to court, filing a grievance. And it's not even necessarily that they win the grievance in, what is it, somewhere around $1 billion that they would win. It's what you're going to have to, I mean, what you're going to have to give up. Major League Baseball owners would have to give up as far as discovery and everything else is concerned. Like all the things that would go into this grievance. As far as opening up your books, how much money you're making and everything else, that's not what Major League Baseball wants to do. It's the last thing that they would want to do. So what Randy Levine is saying all sounds good if you're actually talking about, you know, a negotiation. But the entire time, this hasn't felt like a legitimate negotiation. This is trying to get to a point where we can stall, realizing that the players aren't going to accept anything but fully prorated salaries until we get to a number of days that works for us and a number of games that works for us. Because, I mean, if you read the initial agreement on March 26th, that is where the ambiguity kind of lies.
That's right.
It's the fully prorated. Like, if there's no fans in seats, the owner can make the decision. The owners can make the decision to have players get fully prorated, but they get to decide how many games that's going to be. And it's a bad look if a month ago they say, we're still only playing 60 games. And the fans and players go, what do you mean? That we can play way more than
sure.
More than
you can play 90 of the time for it, absolutely.
But they can't afford that, or they don't want to. They don't want to lose that amount of money.
Such a terrible.
Yeah, but here's the thing that bothered me about yesterday, Rick. To insinuate that the difference in what they feel like the players should get paid is not why the two sides are feuding. I take exception to that. Like, I think everybody is smarter than that. Everybody recognizes that the biggest hurdle for the players and the owners in terms of coming to some kind of agreement is the money. So I don't know why Randy Levine would suggest that it wasn't. To try to pin this on health and safety, I think the time has passed to try to make that the primary issue that's being negotiated, because the reality is it's not.
If this was about
health and, if it was about health and safety, they would have been to come to an agreement and we'd be talking about when we're going to see baseball.
No, but it's not. The entire time it hasn't been about health and safety. It's all been, I mean, it's always been about the money.
Of course it's about money.
So don't you have to question the validity of everything that the guy is saying, if that's what he's leading with?
But he's a smart guy. And it was how he chose to use his words. So in saying what he said is the owners realize now that the players aren't going to accept anything but fully prorated. So they know that. That's how much money it's going to cost. Now they have to come up with a decision on how many games they're going to play. So they know financially, we can make this so it's not an argument. You'll get fully prorated for this amount of games. That's kind of what he was insinuating, is that they'll get fully prorated, but it's not going to be the number of games that they want. It's going to be the number of games that, you know, the owners feel comfortable
with. We've known that for weeks now, that's the way it's going
to
be.
But that's why he said it. That won't be the holdup. That doesn't have to be the holdup, because the owners are now willing to accept it'll be fully prorated, but for the number of games that they want to play. So once you come to that, like I said the entire time, they've always had that in their back pocket. As long as it's fully prorated, the players will come back. Now it's a question of how do we make them feel comfortable coming back with all the safety, you know, safety protocols and everything else? Because it's not going to be easy. If you don't have the players cooperating, they can make it as difficult as humanly possible on the owners to try to get this thing back up and running if they want to be. I mean, look at the NBA protocols.
Was it 124 pages?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a pamphlet. That's a book.
No.
I mean, that's a book. You can't play doubles ping pong and everything. I mean, we'll get into all that stuff, but.
But to me, if I was Tony Clark, if I was representing the players, then I would be trying to play chess and not checkers. I would tell the players, let's put forth a good faith effort to play 50, 60 games, whatever it is that the owners come back with, and we'll get our win once we go in front of an arbitrator or once we go into a courtroom. To me, that would be the way that I approach it. I wouldn't want my players to do anything to undermine whatever season that Rob Manfred and the owners impose on them. You can't win that battle. So, I mean, Dave made the suggestion yesterday that the players could potentially dog it. And I'm just saying, if I was Tony Clark, I would tell them, let's not do that. Let's protect the integrity of our game. When you go out there, you put forth your very best effort. Now, I know that the health and safety part of it is a huge part for the players, but I don't feel like that's what the players looked at as the biggest hurdle to overcome throughout the last couple of months of negotiating. That's clearly not why the players have been taking to social media and voicing their opinions. That the health and safety part of it hasn't been at the forefront. It's been more about the money and the owners trying to negotiate something less than their pro rata salaries.
Here's my question for you guys, and I'll start with you, Rick. Do you think the fans even care at this point? Or do you think they're just worn down to the point of like, you know what, then just don't play. Then just go away and don't come back until next year or the year after, whatever it's going to be, and that there's just kind of baseball fatigue here with the way this has gone on?
Yeah, I don't think it's baseball fatigue. I think it's negotiating.
All right, negotiation, you know, fatigue, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, through the media. I mean, I think they're sick of that. It's kind of like waking me up when baseball starts. I think that's why it's smart with, you know, what Tony Clark and the players have started to do is just tell us when and where, and we're ready to play. Put it back on the owners. And Chris, I will disagree with you a little bit. I don't think you say play chess and checkers. I don't think the owners allow Tony Clark to play chess. They're not going to have a season. There's enough owners that would be happy not having a season where they're not going to allow a season to happen if the threat is that there's going to be a grievance after this thing is over.
So you're saying that the players would have to waive their right to file a grievance?
Yes.
I was Tony Clark, I would never do that. I would never do that. So we might not have a season. And that might be why Rob Manfred said what he said on Monday night in that special to Greeny.
Right.
That's probably what it is. I mean, if they're going to impose a 50, 60 game schedule, if I was Tony Clark and I still reserve the right to file a grievance, then that's exactly what I would do. But there's no way that I would surrender that right if we're talking about something that's less than 70 games with my guys going back to work with their full prorated salaries. There's no way I would even consider that.
And now you have to look at the season now. You saw the article in the LA Times from Fauci yesterday. He said he doesn't know there's going to be baseball in fall, into October. So what happens if you don't get the postseason benefit of this?
Yeah, but see,
Major League Baseball.
That point you just made is, I think that's today, listening to all the radio shows and watching on television, everyone was burying that lead. Not just baseball. I mean, you're talking about Dr. Fauci saying, you know, with influenza and who knows if there's a second wave. Forget what that does to baseball. What does that do to college football, the NFL? I mean, if you don't want this team playing into October with their playoffs, I mean, what is that? You're talking about, I mean, what does the NFL do now if there's a second wave?
I don't know. If you're going to have a second wave and he's concerned about baseball, how in the world can we have football in October, November?
Dave, I don't know. And I was sitting there thinking about that last night when I heard Dr. Fauci say what he said about playing sports deep into the fall. Like, I was thinking about it. If you're talking about multiple players on the two Texas franchises testing positive for COVID-19. Now, I'm just thinking about when we have, you know, training camps ramp up, when guys get back in the facility, God forbid one of these players has it, it's going to run rampant throughout a locker room, throughout an organization. I mean, it could get to the point where you wouldn't be able to field a team and play a game. So if they think that there is going to be a second wave late this fall and into the winter, I don't know how you play football. You can't socially distance on a football field. So I don't know how they end up getting that done. I'm skeptical about them having a chance to have a full season as we would know it in the NFL, Dave. I really am. Now, the NFL and the subcommittee for the league's office and the NFLPA are supposed to meet tomorrow to discuss the protocols that are going to be put in place. But, I mean, even with protocols, Dave, I mean – again, you can't have a protocol in place that can guarantee that nobody would test positive for the virus. I mean, it's inevitable that some NFL personnel are going to get infected with COVID-19. And I just don't know if you can isolate that individual quick enough to keep it from spreading to everybody else.
Look what we've seen already. We've seen University of Houston. We've seen Alabama. We've seen the Cowboys. I mean, and they're not even together yet. And we've already seen, you know, many outbreaks among these different teams. So once the teams start to get together and practice and hit and shower, I'm an optimist, but it's hard to envision.
Shower?
Am I wrong?
You're not wrong.
You guys know what a locker room is like. It's a petri dish in there.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, but you're kind of going out of your way. I mean, just naturally, you're socially distancing yourself from each other in the shower. Like, you're not – I mean, that's not what you have, your closest conversation.
No, but you still pass by a guy and
yeah, but
you know, you're all there hanging out.
Yeah, you're all hanging out, but you're not trying to be – I mean, you're trying to stay at least 6 feet away from each other in the shower.
You know what? I had a great line of points, and you had to get fixated on the one that maybe wasn't –
Well, you're the one that throws in the shower.
Well, I was trying to add. I was getting to a crescendo. Right? Practice, hit.
Could you pass me the loofah? No, but that's going to be the next conversation. I mean, the next conversation is if this is, and again, I don't understand, and maybe I'm crazy, and we kind of joke that the positive of, you know, like Ezekiel Elliott already having COVID is that, you know, have the antibodies. I would almost want to bring the guys back earlier than usual just to see how it goes. As opposed to bringing them back later and then have it run through the team. You know what I'm saying? Like, give yourself as much time as possible, as if you do have an outbreak with your team, you can get the guys healthy, as opposed to you bring them back, it goes through the team. Now you have, you know, a handful of guys that have to isolate for the next miss 14 days when it really counts. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's what the NFL was talking about, but they weren't talking about it from that aspect of it. They were talking about it as to getting players acclimated, doing football movements so that we could gradually ramp this thing up and we could have a return to play where we didn't have a rash of injuries. But, I mean, I think that would serve the same purpose for what you're talking about with the coronavirus. Like, have a chance to be able to go through the logistics of what it would take in order to conduct your day-to-day business and see if you can find ways to keep guys as safe as possible. But a lot of this is going to depend on the cooperation of the players and guys decided to be professionals about it and do the right thing when they're away from the facility. That's a big part of it as well.
Yeah, but I think that's going to be the conversation coming up soon here is what, you know, with how the NFL laid out their schedule, is it just in their best interest to try to push it back and give yourself a little bit more time? I mean, as a football fan, honestly, do you want to try to cram in as many games as you can in September and then all of a sudden, you know, halfway through October, a second wave hits and you got to shut it down and then restart it?
But then what do? You push back.
But if you push it back, what are you going to do then?
And you don't know. I mean,
well, no, you don't know. But
if we get a second wave in September, October,
okay. But what I'm saying is that they built in a bunch of different ways to push back the season if they have to, right? Mm-hmm. Where they can take the first 4 weeks, put it at the end, push back the Super Bowl and everything else. Why not give yourself the opportunity to see if there is a second wave as opposed to put yourself right in the middle of a second wave? Like if you start in September, on September 10th you start, mm-hmm. you get 2 weeks into the season or even 3 weeks into the season.
And then there's an outbreak.
And then now you got to stop it. And now, you know, players have to go their separate ways. Everyone's quarantined and everything else. And now you got to bring them all back and then try to restart it as
sure.
opposed to pushing it back into October, giving yourself, okay, now it's starting to get cooler out. Are we actually seeing a second wave? Does Dr. Fauci still feel like there's going to be a second wave that's worse? I just feel like time is your greatest asset at this point because we still don't have enough. We don't have enough answers yet.
But how long can you go? Like, when can you play the Super Bowl? Like, how late can you start the NFL season, I guess, would be my question.
I think a month later you could probably do it.
Super Bowl first week of March?
That's in Tampa. I mean, you can play it. I mean, you can push it back.
You can probably push it back more than that if you want
it. As late as you want. I mean, give yourself the opportunity to have fans and seats and everything else. I just don't, if that's true, if you're worried about Major League Baseball of all sports, where you can actually, I mean, there's no contact. You can socially mm-hmm. distance to a certain degree in baseball. If he's that concerned about a second wave in influenza and everything else, with baseball
they
going
he
into the fall?
Is.
Okay, then, I mean, you got to be scared to death about the NFL and college football then.
I would think so.
I'm telling you, that's going to be the next conversation, I promise you.
I mean, have you seen what's happening? You see what's happening in Arizona?
Well, yeah, I mean, the more testing you do, the realization that there's a lot of people walking around that are, you know, asymptomatic, that just decide, you know what, I'm going to go get a test just to make sure, and they test and they pop positive. And they had no idea they had it.
Yeah, but what happens if there's five of those guys on an NFL team?
But that's why I think you bring them back sooner rather than later. Go through all the different safety protocols and see what happens. As opposed to now bringing them to training camp when you actually, like, this is an important time because this is training camp. Like, we're right around, you know, preseason and everything else is right around the corner, and then have it happen. Bring everyone together now. See how, I mean, okay, now we know, okay, this guy just tested positive. We'll do the, you know, we'll see.
Right. He goes away for 2 weeks and.
Oh, no, yeah. we'll trace, you know, who he's been around, and then we'll test those. Just as, I mean, to actually have an idea of how this is going to work when you get into a situation where, you know, time is of the essence. Give yourself that leeway because football, you have no idea.
We have no idea.
You can't use baseball. I mean, you can't use what happens and is going on with the KBO and everything else because football, I mean, you're going to be traveling
else. The truth is we have no idea at all. We really don't. We have no idea. We don't know if we're going to get a spike now. We don't know if we're going to get a spike in the fall. We don't know how long, if we get the spike in the fall, it's going to last for. I mean, we don't have any of these answers.
No, and I think as far as underlying health risks are concerned, that could lead to like a really severe case of COVID-19 or God forbid somebody passing away, it would be football. It's going to be football.
That's scary to think about that.
Football scares the hell out of me.
That's really scary.
I mean, of all the things, like you look at people who are at the most risk. I mean, you're talking about humongous individuals.
Yeah.
That are, I mean, face to face. Just think of, I mean, the biggest players on the field are offensive and defensive linemen. I mean, you're between spit and everything else, you're face to face. Every single play.
Every play. And then you're touching them and you're getting a sweat on your hands.
You can wear gloves. Yeah, you're right. I mean, you can wear gloves, but I mean, the biggest thing you have to worry about is the stuff coming out of your mouth. I mean, you can't control
that. We've seen those like slow-mo NFL films videos, right? Where they have the music going in the background, Chris. And you see,
Dave, there's a term called knocking the snot out of guys.
Right.
They say that for a reason because that actually does happen.
Absolutely.
I mean, so you talk about body fluids being, you know, knocked on the guys and all of that stuff like that. That stuff actually happens. You're going to be sweating on guys. You're going to be bleeding on guys. You're going to have stuff coming out of your mouth, out of your nose. That's just the nature of the game, the intensity that it's played with. You can't avoid those things happening, which is why, you know, I just think it's going to be tough for the NFL to be able to pull this off. Now, I hope that we have football in the fall.
Of course.
But I will tell you this, if we're not able to have a successful return to play with basketball, baseball, and hockey, you can forget about football. If those other sports don't work because you can't effectively manage the COVID-19 situation, then football, it's not going to happen. It's not going to, it's we're going to have to stop there. We're going to have to shut down the season before it even starts.
Well, here's a quote from Dr. Fauci. He says, MLB can avoid playing into October. Quote, if you stick to the core summer months, you'll be much better off. Well, that's the exact opposite of what we're going to have with the NFL.
It is, Dave. So that's why I don't know if pushing the season back necessarily works. I mean, you push it back to what, November? Early November? Who's to say that the virus, the second wave, right, wouldn't still be around? We just don't know. Now, I like the fact that they're doing their due diligence and they're meeting tomorrow and they're going to discuss all the particulars and try to plan as well as they can. And the NFL has had the benefit of time in comparison to the other major three-team sports. But, I mean, there's no guarantee that they're going to be able to pull this off. I mean, they're talking about guys returning to facilities in the middle of July, but there's no guarantee that they're going to be able to keep everybody safe. So I don't know. I'm skeptical. I want to be optimistic, but I just can't be. And especially when you start hearing now about guys that have been working out on their own, testing positive for the coronavirus. I mean, when you get all of these guys in one locker room, you're talking about 90 guys per team. That's a lot of guys, and by the nature of the sport, I just feel like the odds are against you in terms of being able to curb the potential for your guys to be infected with the virus.
I think scariest, just all in health concerns. Yeah, I mean, even bringing it, I mean, you're not going to be in a bubble. You're not going to be tested, you know, every single day. I mean, it's going to be as close to, you know, normal as whatever normal is going to be. And then on top of it, you're still living with your family. That would be another huge concern for me. I know no one wants to be away from their family, but the last thing I would want to do is have it run through my house.
So if you played for a local NFL team, would you stay in a hotel?
Either that or I would ask to be tested every single day. Yeah, I mean, that would be a conversation, especially in my situation with young kids.
Rick, they're talking about only testing guys three times a week.
Yeah, see, I don't love that, Dave, I would probably make the decision. I would probably make the decision to keep myself away from my family as much as possible.
So you would either stay with someone in an apartment or you would stay at a hotel?
Yeah, that would be my decision.
Yeah, I think, I wonder. And again, we talk about the second wave and what's going to happen in the fall. Today on ESPN Daily, the world's most popular sports league, the English Premier League, returns to action today. Hear what to expect in the mad dash to finish the season. That's ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. All right, you ready, Rick?
I am ready, my friend.
All right. The floor is yours.
All right, here we go. I was going to go in honor of Chris Chubbs Peterson Canty, who decided to take the L instead of battling a tiny little alligator on the golf course. I was going to go with Adam Sandler movies.
Oh.
I could go with Adam Sandler movies, but
there's
I also have a...
There's a butt?
No, I'm going to give you options. I got Adam Sandler all ready to go. But I also, because I had this before the show started, I have, in honor of the NBA, best current NBA duos.
Now, let me go out on a limb and see, can we go a la carte here? Could we get like two NBA duos, two Sandler movies, or is that not on the menu?
No, I like it. We can do that too. I got both.
Chris, how do you feel?
Buffet style?
I like NBA duos.
You just want to go NBA duos.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go NBA duos then. I'll save the Adam Sandler.
Maybe for How's Friday. That? When it's kind of fun CMT Friday.
Okay. I like it. All right, here we go. NBA duos. Cuddle, marry, trash. Santiago, I appreciate the music. You're the best in the business. Let's go with some young duos. Ready for this?
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm going to give you R.J. Barrett and Julius Randle.
Stop it.
I'm kidding.
Come on, man.
If you would have gone R.J. Barrett and Mitchell Robinson, I would have taken you seriously. But you include Julius Randle. I know you're messing around here.
Well, yeah, that's the only reason you know I'm messing around. Because, yeah. I mean, you know how much I love Julius Randle.
Well, the R.J. Barrett was legitimate.
If you could have, in all honesty, Julius Randle or an Orange Julius, which would you take?
Store? I can own a store?
You can own the store. No, just a drink. Just a drink from Orange Julius. I would take the drink.
One drink?
I would take the drink.
Yeah, I might as well. Can I put it in the blender?
Of course.
Okay.
And spin it, just like in honor of Julius Randle, you can spin it. There he goes, putting him in the lane, spinning, never winning. All right, here we go. Trey Young and John Collins.
Ooh, Trey Young, John Collins. That's a nice one.
Zion and Lonzo Ball. Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson.
All right, Chris, would you like to receive or defer?
It's up to you, Dave.
I'll start. I'm comfortable starting out here.
Okay.
I think the player with the highest upside and attraction as well for the fans is Zion. I think Lonzo Ball is actually underrated in many ways now. So that duo will be my marry.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
The next one's really difficult. Trae Young has turned himself into a sensational player, but on a lousy team. Ja Morant has played in more important games. Actually, as a rookie, has his team in the postseason, as it would sit now. For that reason, I will cuddle Morant and Jaren Jackson.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And I will trash Trae Young and John Collins.
Look at this garbage! Look at this garbage!
Okay, usually this is where I say one man's trash is another man's treasure, but not today. Trash is trash. I would trash Trae Young and John Collins as well. I am actually going to marry Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson. I mean, I look at the NBA. It's a point guard driven league, and Ja Morant he refers to himself as a point guard, and we saw that in his rookie year. I mean, the way the guy controls the pace of the game, it's really impressive. And Jaren Jackson is starting to come into his own in his second year. You can see the development. He's averaging 17 points a game. So I just like that combination. When you got a point guard that can orchestrate the offense and you got a big man that can be an impact player like Jaren Jackson showing in his sophomore campaign, I feel really good about what the Memphis Grizzlies are building towards. So I'm going to marry them, and I'm going to cuddle Zion and Lonzo. You know how much I love Zion as a player, and I think, to your point, Dave, Lonzo is a little bit underrated, especially on the defensive end of the court. So I'll cuddle that group because I think they have the potential to make some noise as well. But I really love what Memphis is doing with Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson, so that's why I'm marrying them.
All right, well done, fellas. Well done. All right, here I'm going to give you Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I'm going to give you Simmons and Embiid. And I'm going to give you Porzingis and Luka.
Oh, this is easy. I'm going to trash Simmons and Embiid. It feels like when one of them is off the court, the other one is exponentially better. So they just haven't been able to figure out how to make it work with both of them on the court at the same time. I think a big part of that is because Simmons can't shoot. Or even if he can, he's reluctant to shoot. So either way, it's a problem for their offense, and it's a problem for Joel Embiid having the space that he needs. So I'm trashing them. I'm going to marry Luka and KP.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
And I know a lot of people in New York don't like KP, especially the way that things went when he ended up leaving and being traded to Dallas. But KP is a tremendous talent. And when you got a generational talent in Luka Doncic down there, being able to take a lot of the attention, I think you're going to see the best of Kristaps Porzingis. So, yeah, I'm marrying that, and then I am going to cuddle up to Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
Bombs
I told you guys how I feel about Jason Tatum. At some point, he's going to be a top five player in the league. Not yet, but he's moving closer toward that seemingly every season. So sooner rather than later, top five player in the league. That's why I'm cuddling that tandem.
All right, now you almost challenged us earlier to rapidly go through with our selections. I will do that. But I will not do that here because I need some explanation. If I were to draft these guys, my number one pick would probably be Luka Doncic. I probably would go 2-3 Simmons Embiid. So
no.
I'm actually going
no.
to.
No. Stop it.
I am going to marry Simmons and Embiid.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
I'm telling you. I think that
Jason Tatum's going to be one of the best scorers in the NBA.
I understand, but Jaylen Brown is not anywhere near that. So I'm going to marry Simmons and Embiid. AP and Doncic was a thought. I have health concerns with KP, but I have the same health concerns with Embiid. So I will cuddle Porzingis and Doncic. And I will cash solely because of the Jaylen Brown fact, because Jason Tatum is a sensational player already. I will trash Tatum and Brown.
Look at this garbage!
Aggressive.
Very aggressive.
Not sure I agree,
but it's
aggressive.
You hate what I've done?
No, I don't hate it. Disrespectful to Jason Tatum. They're very,
very disrespectful.
But I mean, but I'm talking about he's going to be. Why I did that. It wasn't for or meant to be disrespectful towards Tatum. It was more of a Jaylen Brown, not anything.
No, I get what you're saying. I mean, Ben Simmons can't shoot. I mean, he's a great defender. He can facilitate an offense.
He's a great player. He's a game player without being able to shoot.
There's no way you would take, there's no way you would take Ben Simmons over Jason Tatum.
Maybe not.
Yeah,
so Doncic won.
Yeah, there's no
okay, but even
so. What are we talking about? What are we
then
talking
Simmons,
about?
Then Simmons and Embiid would both clearly be higher than Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, but you said that you would, if you
yeah,
were
well, maybe I was wrong.
Or drafting them. Okay.
Okay, so if I'm drafting them, maybe I'd take Doncic 1, Tatum 2, and then those guys 3, 4.
I don't think you can go wrong.
I don't know.
I mean, you can't go
yeah.
wrong, but I mean, you could
I feel
be
like I'm being attacked.
Right. Well, you're not being attacked. You're being criticized constructively.
Yeah. Critique.
You can't be wrong, yeah. but you could be more right.
Yes. I would agree
in,
with that.
In your, it's an opinion question. I gave my opinion, and now I'm wrong?
No, it's a terrific opinion, and I appreciate it. So let's move on, because we're trying to keep this thing as tight as possible. I'm going to give you Westbrook Harden. I'm going to give you Dame Time and CJ McCollum. Mm. I'm going to give you Stephen Clay.
Oh, this is easy for me.
Okay. All right, this is going to be my. I'm going to run through this. I'm going to marry Stephen Clay. I mean, when healthy, the range for those two guys is unbelievable. So I'm going to marry. I'm going to cuddle Westbrook and Harden.
Bombs and hellacious.
They can combine for 70 points in any given game. And I love Lillard and CJ McCollum, but I don't think they're in the same class as those other two duos. So I will trash that duo.
And when you say Westbrook and Harden can combine for 70 points in any given night, that would be with one of them scoring 60 and the other 110. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Or 35-35. Okay. Yes, any combination. Oh, you know, yes.
Okay. I'm going to do the same thing. I think this is one of the easier CMTs that Rick has ever given us. So I'm marrying Stephen Clay, two top 15 shooters the game has ever seen, arguably the best shooter the game has ever seen in Steph. Cuddle Harden and Westbrook in trash, Dame and CJ.
Look at this garbage!
I wanted to give you an easy one before I gave you one of the tougher ones.
Uh-oh.
Oh, okay. I see what you're doing.
I bet you we got LeBron and Anthony Davis in this one.
Well,
we got Kawhi
tough.
And Paul George.
Uh-huh.
LeBron and AD.
Yep.
And Kyrie and Durant.
Again, this is another one that's easy for me. I'm marrying LeBron and AD. I am cuddling Kawhi and PG, and I'm trashing Kyrie and KD.
Look at this garbage!
And just to show you that I can go very quickly during this segment, as Sam said in Ghost, ditto.
Ditto. Now what? Let me ask you a question. Let me ask both of you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Is it injury concerns with Durant? Is it... You don't like Kyrie. I mean, you're talking about...
All-encompassing. All-encompassing.
I got a guy coming off an injury, which is hard to return to prior form. And mm-hmm. I got Kyrie Irving, who's terrific. And again, it's a great duo. But of those three, it's clearly the third in my mind.
Okay. That's respectable.
All
right, last one.
Just to show you the lack of talent. Not talent, that's not fair. But lack of a second player when it comes to Milwaukee, you can't even put them in this. And they
no, they're
going to
be in it. No, they're going to be in it. That's what made this difficult.
You can't
because,
use
I mean,
Chris Middleton?
I'm going to right now.
Okay.
Giannis and Chris Middleton, Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. Slim down Nikola Jokic.
Oh, he lost 50 pounds?
Half a person.
So what, Murray and Jokic?
Murray and Jokic, Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert.
Well, they wouldn't even want to be.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if they
they've
like,
mended the
like
fences. They've mended the fences.
All right, Chris. I mean, this to me is not all that difficult either. I mean, Giannis is the guy. I'm going yeah. Giannis and Chris Middleton is my marry. Going Giannis.
If it was socially acceptable, yeah. I wouldn't marry them.
Now I run into a little bit of trouble. I will.
No, you don't.
No, it's Jamal Murray and Jokic stuff.
Yeah, it's Jamal Murray and Jokic, and then I will trash Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert.
Whoa, okay, maybe I was a little bit wrong there. I'm not going to do that. I am going to cuddle Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. You're talking about defensive player of the year and a guy that's going to be a perennial all-star and eventually a consistent all-NBA performer in Donovan Mitchell. I'm going to cuddle those guys and I'm going to trash Jokic and Murray. For as good as they are in the regular season, I just don't see that duo winning anything.
This is the kind of decisiveness I'm talking about. You guys thought about it for a second and then boom, 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 cuddle Murray trash.
You challenged us. You challenged us, and we, I think we rose to the occasion.
No, you guys were great. I mean, that was, I mean, collectively one of your best efforts. I'm not afraid to say it.
I think you did well as well.
Yeah, not too shabby.
I felt like I was a little slow out of the gates.
No, but those, okay. I mean, listen, you want to put some thought into it. You want to go back and forth. I appreciate that. Give it some thought, but when you say something, you stick by it, which I like. It's perfect. Love it.
Beautiful. All right, well done. This is a very big hour because it has multiple segments within a segment. At 12:30, you have Nobservations, but before you go Nobservations, you get the weather update, which should be a beauty today, and the game that is sweeping the nation. And that would be, what time did Rick go to bed last night?
And heated battle, too. Heated battle. 1-1 going into Wednesday.
But he has, it's like, you know what it's like? It's like a tennis match and he broke serve and now Chris has hold serve. So I don't feel great about my situation right now.
I trust you though. You'll bounce back.
I hope.
Good like that.
I mean, odds, you know, if you go back into the history books of who typically wins this kind of a battle, if you win game three, you have a tremendous advantage.
So that's what this is pivotal game three?
Yeah.
Okay.
Best out of five series. That's true, Dave. Excellent point.
I mean, today is the day. Odds are distinctly in the advantage of whoever wins the match today. You have serve. It's very difficult for me to win.
I don't know if it's as difficult as you think, though, Dave, because it's not like if you go over, you're disqualified. This is not Price is Right rules. If you're just closer than I am, you've got a shot.
Correct. Well, yeah. I hope to be. I hope to be.
So
I know you're
going to
make me go first, and you're going to figure out a way to manipulate the game as you should. And I don't know.
Okay. All right.
We'll see. I feel like I'm at a disadvantage, but you know, it's my own doing for having a stupid guest yesterday. All right. Well, I mean, it is. I have no one to blame but myself.
Yeah, you went lower. I mean, you should have. Come on. I mean, you got Greeny. You got a 2-hour ESPN special on TV, on the radio. You had to imagine I'd be up. I mean, way later than usual.
It was a bad job by me. All right, so ESPN's doing an interesting little article or kind of an overview with all the beat reporters about what teams are set up for the best for the next decade. Let's talk about our local teams, and let's start with Jordan Renan. Now, before we even hear from Jordan, Chris, take your mind, your heart out of it, and be objective, as I know you always are with the Giants, but next decade, how do you feel the Giants look right now?
Well, I think the Giants are in pretty good shape, Dave. You know, I'm more optimistic about the 2020 season for the Giants than most are. You know, I think they'll be somewhere around a 7-9, 8-8 ball club. Just because I think the quarterback is trending in the right direction. And what Dave Gettleman has done this offseason is to continue to support his young quarterback and aid in his development by being able to get Andrew Thomas with that fourth overall pick. I think that's going to go a long ways to solidifying the offensive line and alleviating the number one concern that we had about Daniel Jones coming out of 2019, which was his ball security in the pocket. You don't have to worry about ball security as much if he's not getting hit as much. So you couple that with the fact that he's going to have a healthy Saquon Barkley, you know, not the guy that we saw that was banged up for the majority of last year, and that Darius Slayton in year two should be better to go along with Golden Tate and Sterling Shepard. Evan Ingram being in a contract year situation. So I feel a lot better about the support that Daniel Jones has. And I think this kid is really going to take off. I think he has the right kind of character, not just from the things that he does off the field and those intangibles, but also about the way that he approaches the game, the way that he approaches his craft.
Can I ask a quick question? I mean, you guys watched the video. I mean, was there a mandate that everyone involved in the NFC East chat had to wear a blue polo?
Well, they probably wanted it to look, you know, solid.
All different shades of blue. I mean, is that what we're doing? That's fine.
Well, what's wrong with that? It's a nice look.
Okay. I was just asking. I mean, I don't know if they got, I mean, the memo was sent out that you must wear a blue golf shirt.
Well, they probably wanted them to look, you know, casual yet classy and good. That's how they want.
Jordan's got his diploma up. I mean,
he can't help it.
No, he can't help it. No, that's what happens when you're. I mean, you're the lesser version of Kevin Burkhardt. I get it. I mean, you're just trying to make up any way you can.
But I think you were off on Friday. Was it Friday we had him on the show? And I mentioned that that's what you now refer to as, and he looked at that as almost a nice thing.
Yeah, because he's being rational about it. It wasn't meant to be it wasn't meant to be negative.
But when you say
it
you're
felt
lesser
like a shot,
than
though.
Someone else, when you start out saying, well, you know, you're okay, but you're lesser than this person, I don't know, that's kind of a slight, no?
Yes.
I didn't say he was okay. I said he is less handsome version of Kevin Burkhardt.
I don't know. I don't look at I can't believe that that went over well.
He said he liked it. I was listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can't. Who cares if you're offended? He loved it.
But we also concluded, Rick, that he kind of resembles Bob Papa, too.
A little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's
He's
going to
need a lot more. He'll need a lot more hair paint to be Bob Papa.
Right. So instead of critiquing what everyone's wearing, can you critique your opinion on where the Giants are for the next decade?
Next decade.
Yeah.
I mean, offensively, you have to like, you know, where they're set up. You know, Chris mentioned, you know, Andrew Thomas, which we all think is going to be able to step in, if it's not this year because of the circumstances. At some point, he'll be the left tackle. I love Daniel Jones. I know everyone likes Daniel Jones. You got Saquon. Defense is still the biggest concern. I mean, you guys don't necessarily trust Dave Gettleman, so that would be a concern for me. Their defense is still a ways away from being formidable, to say the very least. I think you're probably looking at the Cowboys over the next decade kind of more on the downturn.
I would agree.
Carson
Cowboys better now. Like, you could argue Cowboys'
yes.
best team in the division right now. But over the next decade, although I will say this, offensive line getting older, Tyron Smith getting older, Elliott,
yep.
you know, the shelf life of that, you don't know. But you still, and I know I joke about it all the time, the quarterback's still pretty good in Dallas. And if he's going to be their quarterback for the long term, that's a big piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, but he's going to get paid now. So that's going to affect your salary cap. Salary cap will go up. I understand that. But you still get to take advantage of Daniel Jones being on a rookie deal for the next 3 years.
I will say this, the NFC East better hope Dwayne Haskins isn't a good quarterback.
I'm hoping that, yes.
Because if he is, it's going to be a problem with the Washington. I don't even want to say the last name because I think it's ridiculous that they haven't changed the name of the team yet. But that Washington team is going to be a really tough team to deal with the way that they built that front seven.
Yes.
That's probably the second best front seven in the NFL.
But that's a big if. Dwayne Haskins is going
to
be good.
That is a big if, but I mean, it's not like we haven't seen quarterbacks make huge jumps from year one to year two.
He wasn't exactly set up to have success either.
No. Listen, I'm not saying that you're wrong.
I guess I just look at it from the standpoint of you love the coach that they have now in Ron Rivera. You know he's going to be able to develop that program. You know he's going to be able to maximize the potential that his players have. I just feel like Washington is going to be a much more stable franchise with him at the helm and a couple of people in the front office out. And so the thing that they've been missing in Washington is a competent quarterback, the one that they had in Kirk Cousins. They decided to let him walk in free agency. But if Dwayne Haskins happens to be the goods, then Washington could be a problem for the next decade.
Oh, I agree. Because their coach is now legitimized. Their defense should be very good. Chase Young is going to be unbelievable, you'd figure, if he's good. But here's the thing. If he's not, then it's almost all for naught, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you don't have a quarterback, what do you have in the NFL? It's going to be hard to compete in this league if you don't have somebody that's a difference maker at the position. Now, if you got somebody that's a solid quarterback, you can still have a chance to be good. You just, your margin for error is
right.
Essentially zero.
You have to be great in every other spot. All right, now
yes.
Let's hear from the lesser Kevin Burkhardt. We refer to him as Jordan Renan. Are the Giants best set up for long-term success in the NFC East?
You look at the Giants and you compare them to Eagles, they do have something that's key. They have that young quarterback. Now, we don't know exactly what that ceiling is. So when you look at the Giants team, at least offensively, they seem to be positioned fairly well for the future. And if Daniel Jones is the real deal, then they might end up being in the conversation, right? They have Daniel Jones at quarterback, Saquon Barkley at running back, a left tackle that hopefully is going to be the guy for the next 10 years, and Andrew Thomas that drafted in the first round this year. So there's some key young pieces. Evan Ingram as a weapon. Those are some key young pieces. If Daniel Jones turns out to be the real deal, you can have the Giants in that mix.
All right, Giants in the mix, but more from Jordan. What team is set up best for long-term success in the NFC East? He sees it as
The front runner still is the Eagles because, like you mentioned, Carson Wentz, 27 years old. It all starts with the quarterback. So who has the best quarterback in the division? Carson Wentz is 27. You figure if, as long as he stays healthy, that's a big if for Carson Wentz. 35, you could easily go till as a quarterback in the NFL. That's most of the decade right there. So if Carson Wentz stays healthy and is the real deal, the Eagles, to me, are still best set up a little bit better than the Cowboys is with Dak.
All right. So
I think here's the thing. I think I agree with him as long as Carson Wentz can stay healthy.
That's a big if, though.
That's a big if. I get it. You're 100% right. But in the moment, just saying like, all things equal that he's healthy, I think for sustained success over the decade, I mean, doesn't it obviously starts with the quarterback? It's a quarterback's league. But then it has to be head coach and front office. Because you're talking about, I mean, this is an extended period of success. So right now, wouldn't you say with coach, quarterback, and GM, you probably trust the Eagles the most at the moment?
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Although I just don't trust the quarterback, though, to stay healthy. I just don't.
Something about it, I just don't trust it. I mean, has he ever stayed healthy?
Yeah, I mean, he stayed healthy all 16 last year, but he got injured in the playoff game. He got knocked out with a concussion, and he stayed healthy all 16 in his rookie year. It was the two years in between that. He was dealing with the ACL and other little things. But
in college, too, though, he was hurt.
In college, too, he was hurt, man. So I guess I just – it's something about Carson Wentz. I don't feel great about it. And if I were to be asked to buy stock in one of these teams for over the next decade and hold on to it
– Do it.
It'd be the New York Football Giants.
Yes.
It'd be the Giants. And listen, I don't trust their general manager – But he's not going to be there for the decade either. But exactly, Dave. He won't be there for the decade. And the guy that they're probably going to pass the reins to, I feel pretty good about him. So I like what I've heard from Joe Judge, and I like what they have on the roster with the young pieces. I really do. Their defense has a long ways to go. I get it. But you can mitigate that to some degree if you have a dominant offense that's able to control time of possession. And last I checked, they got a pretty good running back. So I feel, like I said, if I had to buy stock in one of those two teams for the next decade, it'd be the Giants.
You hear that? You hear that, Rick?
No, I hear it. No, listen, I don't necessarily disagree. I mean, Carson Wentz, especially the concussion, scares me to death. I mean, I feel like Carson Wentz could be, with how much he gets banged up, how he plays the game. I mean, that was a self-reported concussion. This is exactly what you should do. But that, I mean, when you start talking head injuries,
In the playoffs, though, Rick.
I have to say it because you're supposed. I mean, you're supposed to self-report. I mean, I wouldn't personally, but you have to say that you should.
Yeah, I get it. But
I could feel Carson Wentz going the way of someone like Andrew Luck, where the injuries just pile up, couple more concussions, and then.
But it wouldn't be because the Eagles didn't do everything they could to put a good offensive line in front.
Right, they've tried.
The Andrew Luck, that situation with Ryan Grigson, that was franchise malpractice.
That was awful. They never improved the offensive line for the poor guy.
Yeah, that's not what Howie Roseman has done.
Although Barrett, but I
will say this though, to Chris's initial point, and if Dave played in Washington, it'd be the Loofskins. Is that
is that funny?
The Skins, because of the head coach, because of that defense. If Dwayne Haskins can play, that would be a team that concerns me a little bit.
Well, that'd be terrifying.
Yeah.
Because now they've completely legitimized the head coach. If he's a good quarterback, that's a non-issue. The defense looks like it could be really good. But I always hang my hat on the owner. And he's
good
proven
point.
To be nothing short of awful.
That's a great point. Starts at the top. Owner, GM, coach, quarterback. They all have to line up.
I mean, look at what they've done.
I feel better about them having Ron Rivera, though, Dave.
I agree.
Ron Rivera is going to curb a lot of that Daniel Snyder over-involvement, making irrational decisions type. He's going to mitigate that some degree.
All right. So there's the NFC East. Now they also discuss the AFC East. And Rick, how do you feel about the Jets over the next decade?
Over the next decade?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you heard Mike Tannenbaum yesterday. I mean, he feels like Sam Darnold's going to just pop.
Because you let the witness.
No, yeah, I let him right into it. I feel okay. I'm going to be honest. I really like Joe Douglas. I don't love Adam Gase. And because I don't love Adam Gase, I feel like we could be in a situation where all of a sudden Sam's going to have a new head coach, new system, and that'll set him back, as opposed to having that, you know, continuity that a young quarterback needs. The Jamal Adams situation concerns me. Did you read Jamal Adams' tweet?
Yeah, that's not good. That's not a good sign.
He had another tweet?
Yeah, Chris, tell Dave what Jamal Adams had to say.
That's not a good sign, Dave. All I'm going to tell you is this. Jamal Adams has let it be known that it's clear he wants a new contract and he wants to be treated with a certain amount of respect by the organization. And to this point, he hasn't felt that.
Yeah, he feels disrespected, doesn't even have a proposal yet.
But you knew this was going to be a problem.
I know, which concerns me. I love the young quarterback. I think Denzel Mims is going to turn into a good wide receiver. They're going to continue to, I mean, I think the offensive line is better. It's not, I mean, it's not where it needs to be. Becton was a good draft pick. I just, I mean, because I don't love the head coach, I can't be all in. But if Sam Darnold turns into what we all think he's going to turn into, I feel like you could end up having the best quarterback in the division.
All right, let's take a listen. Here's Mike Reese, covers the Patriots, but he gives his two cents on the Jets. How are they set up for the long term?
I looked at the Jets, and I actually really like Sam Darnold as the quarterback that I felt the strongest about. But my question was with Adam Gase, and in terms of team of the decade, is that the type of head coach that I could envision leading that type of team?
Well, here's the thing I'll say.
Who's the next head coach? If we're breaking down the decade, who's going to be the next head coach? Let's be honest.
Exactly.
Who's going to be the next head coach?
Is that if they're bad this year, he's not going to be the head coach in 2 years from now.
Yes, Dave, that could be true. But then you're talking about the progress of your young quarterback, his development being interrupted because he's learning.
Yes.
What would that be, the third system in 4 years?
4 years, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're talking about that. And you're potentially talking about losing the best player on the team in Jamal Adams because he's not able to have a good relationship and try to work through the situation with the contract. Like, that's why you lean on your head coach. That's why San Francisco paid Kyle Shanahan when he had 3 years left on his contract. It's not just scheming up the X's and O's. It's being able to have good relationships with your players and help them to understand their value within the organization. And then to make sure that the timing of when guys get paid works with the timeline that the organization has allotted for that. And to me, that's something that Adam Gase has shown in his two stops as a head coach that he's not very good at doing. And so I would have some serious concerns about where the Jets would be, even if they were to move on from Adam Gase after 2020. I really would. Like, if you look at the AFC East, there's no question in my mind that the Jets have the worst head coach. And I don't know how you overcome that as an organization. And it's too important of a year in terms of the development of the team's overall identity, but also the development of the team's most important player, which is Sam Darnold.
Over the next decade, though, Dave, I mean, the team that would scare me the most?
Miami Dolphins.
It's the Miami Dolphins.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I agree.
Yes. Yeah.
Because they're clearly heading in the right direction.
But Buffalo, Rick, is right there. For me, Buffalo is right there.
If Josh Allen becomes a quarterback that can be really good, Buffalo is terrifying.
They challenged for the division last year with a quarterback play that wasn't that good.
And they should have won a playoff game.
Here's the thing, though. Over the next decade, that's a lot of time. My fear with Josh Allen is that he goes the way of Cam Newton, where he just takes a complete, just gets beat down.
Well, the way he plays, he could.
Yeah, but
just takes a beating.
But what if Josh Allen turns into Ben Roethlisberger?
Then we got problems. I didn't even want to think about that.
Then you got
then
major
we have
problems.
Huge problems.
All right.
Huge problems.
Let's hear from our friend. Does Rich Cimini look like anybody, by the way? Like a lesser version of anybody?
No, he looks like Rich Cimini.
Okay. Well, here is the man who looks like Rich Cimini because he is Rich Cimini. Who set up the best in the AFC East for the next decade?
I'm a big believer in coach, quarterback, and front office, and so I can't go with the Patriots. Stidham's too much of a wild card, and we don't know how long Bill's going to coach for. So I'm picking Buffalo here. The best team over the next decade. I like their coach front office symmetry, synergy, and I like Josh Allen. I don't think he'll ever be an elite quarterback, but he's going to be a guy who wins games with maybe mediocre type stats, maybe an Eli Manning type of career.
Well, that's a shot at Eli Manning.
Broadside.
Unnecessary.
What is he doing?
Unnecessary. But if Josh Allen turns into Eli Manning, you would love that if you're a Bills fan.
Think about
how great Eli Manning was in the postseason runs for the Giants to win Super Bowls. Come on, man.
Greatest
you got
ones
a quarterback
in the history of football.
That's capable of doing that?
I don't like. You know what? I'm done with Rich. Don't even bother. I'm done. When we talk Jets, there's got to be some. I mean, who else?
You're just going to lay out? You're not going to talk at all?
Yeah.
That's funny. In all honesty, we start looking, you know, you take the Patriots out of it because they've been, I mean, just the best team maybe in sports over the last, I mean, what, 20 years?
20 years,
they've been able
yeah.
to accomplish. But it's funny. I joke, and it's just me joking because it makes you crazy, is that, you know, the Giants have morphed into the Jets. But even, like, just going back and forth here, looking at both divisions, how much Miami actually reminds me of Washington. Like, you like Washington's mm-hmm. coach, but you don't trust the owner. You love the Miami Dolphins coach. You don't trust the owner. Both have young quarterbacks that are still kind of unproven. It's weird, like, the symmetry between the two teams, the two divisions.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I can see that.
Because the Redskins scare the hell out of you.
Yes.
And so do the Dolphins.
If he's going to be a good quarterback, it's going to be a major problem for a long time, yes.
Yeah, I feel the same way about the Dolphins. The way you feel about the Redskins, I feel about the Dolphins. Because I love their head coach. I mean, you saw what they did in free agency.
They got a pretty good GM.
They had a great draft.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of people. I actually saw somebody that actually, one of the beat reporters, I don't know who it was, they were going back and forth. Actually, I think Kay said this yesterday, picked Miami to win the division.
That seems early to me.
They were very competitive with not a lot of talent last year.
They'll be a better team, but you're still going to have to figure 10 wins is going to win that division, no?
Yeah, I would say 10, 11 wins
it's hard
the
to
AFC
envision.
East.
It's hard to envision for me that Miami wins 10 or 11 games.
But there's always that team that surprises you, right?
Always
there's
that
one team that has a surprise season. And when you look at the veterans that they added, look at the back end of their defense.
No, their secondary is really good.
It's ridiculous.
Really good. And their offensive line should be much better.
I mean, if Tua can play, I mean, Devontae Parker established himself as a legitimate weapon. They got a good tight end. They added two running backs. They got Breeden and Howard. I mean, that's
yeah,
like one of those
the offensive line. Yeah, yeah.
That's like one of those teams that has that crazy like that season where the pieces just make sense for some reason.
Kind of like what happened in San Francisco this past year.
Yeah, like they had the right kind of veterans with some young player with some young yeah. talent, and all of a sudden you got a good head coach. Crazy things are.
I can see that. I can see that.
If that happens, forget it. I'm going to have to tap out of the show.
If you go from New England and they pass the baton to the Dolphins,
no, I'll be done. I'll have to tap out. I'll be done.
I'm going to shoot you guys overseas. Already have problems with the Dolphins. You guys can't beat the Dolphins.
Yeah, you
with
can't
L.
beat them anyway.
I'm terrified of the Dolphin.
That's right.
You know that. I'm just going to start. Listen, I promise you this. I'm just going to strictly overseas. My KBO team's tearing it up. My soccer team just won its 8th straight Bundesliga.
Who's your soccer team?
Bayern Munich.
Oh.
You knew that. I went to the games when I was out in Germany.
Yeah, congratulations on that.
Come around with a little cigarette cart. Terrific experience.
They come around and give you cigarettes?
Yeah, a cigarette card, yeah. Nothing like watching a game just having a person just ripping a dart right next to you.
Great. Awesome. Really concerned about their lungs over there in Germany. Terrific.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.